Marvelicious Toys is brought to you in part by Dorkside Toys. At DorksideToys.com, you can get the latest Marvel toys, as well as Star Wars, G.I. Joe, The Walking Dead, and more. Run by toy fans, you can be assured your order will be given great attention and packed with care. Sign up to their social channels now for stock alerts, reviews, and toy and movie news. DorksideToys.com. You'd be a dork not to shop there. Welcome to Marvelicious Toys, hosted by Justin and his amazing friends, Arnie and Marjorie. We bring you news and reviews of Marvel toys, statues, and more, because not all Marvel collections can be bagged and boarded. They're not just toys, they're Marvelicious.
Hello and welcome to Marvelicious Toys, issue 119. I'm Marjorie.
I'm Arnie.
And this is Justin.
And welcome to this bonus episode of Marvelicious Toys. It's funny, we took 1 week off for Memorial Day, and now we had to have so much that we did a spare week here.
That's because the FedEx ferry showed up.
It did. We've got a bunch of stuff to review this show, but before we do, I just want to thank our sponsor, Dorkside Toys. Remember, Dorkside Toys has Marvel Legends, ton of Marvel Legends. You want the Guardians of the Galaxy Marvel Legends? You can get them there, and you can even get some of them loose and save a ton of money. Get them at $13 a figure. Or the upcoming X-Men Legends Wave. Those are shipping in August. Get yours ordered now at Dorkside Toys, along with the Jubilee Build-A-Figure, or you can just order a Jubilee Build-A-Figure loose. The Guardians Legends are now shipping. Marvel Infinite Series Wave 2 is about to ship. So much more stuff. G.I. Joe, Magic the Gathering, Pacific Rim, RoboCop, and tons of Star Wars, Walking Dead figures and more, all at Dorkside Toys, and we thank them for their sponsorship. But yes, as Marjorie said, I got a lot of boxes on my step this past week. So let's open a few, shall we? Justin, I know you got one too. Let's review the first die-cast Hot Toy to make it to my doorway. The Hot Toys Iron Patriot.
Oh yeah.
Now, I just have to start by again, as always, commending Hot Toys on their glorious packaging.
It's very shiny. What is it, like acrylic case on it? What is that?
They used like a window box, so it's a clear plastic that went over the cardboard inside, and they printed the Patriot on the plastic, so the box inside is just blue. And so it creates this awesome glossy glass effect. And because it's so tight on the cardboard, you don't have to worry about the window box crinkling, denting, and getting those crease marks that you do in a normal window box.
Okay, so the Iron Patriot's not even on the box. He's on the...
Yeah, he's on the plastic. And it's some pretty heavy-duty plastic. I mean, for packaging, it's a good thick piece of PET G.
Nice.
Yeah, and they've kind of reinvented the way they do packaging once again. Because once you get that off, it's no longer a Velcro enclosure. It's now a slip sleeve box.
That's nice, but a little dangerous to carry.
Yeah, a little scary, a little daunting when you're first opening because you don't know how it's packaged in there. Like, if I take this off, are things going to start falling out?
I just did it very carefully, but I did figure what I had to do was pull up the top and let it rise. So the box is very cool. Fortunately, it was easy to photograph too, because I judge a box by how easy or hard it is to photograph.
It wasn't too hard with all that shiny plastic on it. The first thing I noticed is something that we talk about quite often is bang for your buck and how much something feels like it costs. This feels like a $300 Iron Patriot toy.
I agree. We had one listener who was writing to me about Hot Toys because we talked about them so often. And he went and bought one of the Iron Mans. And I can't remember which one. I think he got the Mark 1 version 2. And when he got it, he just went, this feels like cheap plastic. He sent it back for a full refund. And I'm like, you know, that's what I've said on the show is I'm surprised every time I touch the Iron Men how light and plasticky they feel. But yes, getting this die-cast one here has really taken it up a level because it feels hefty, it feels sturdy, and it feels cold and metallic like Iron Man's armor should.
Yeah.
He's very nice. I like the weathering on him, too.
The cynic in me makes me think that so when I scratch him, I'll never know. Because diecast, the downside is that it scratches real easy.
Is that cynic or pessimist? Maybe we should have a discussion on that.
Now, Arnie, this is a question for you because I don't obviously don't buy as many hot toys as you do, but this is the first hot toy that I bought that instead of just pulling out the little battery protector plastic to get it going, I actually had to get a screwdriver out, which it comes with, and install the little tiny watch batteries myself.
That was very interesting to me. I'll admit that I'm a little bit backlogged in my opening, so I have a stack of hot toys here that I haven't opened. So I don't know when that change occurred. But I had a conversation by email just 2 weeks ago with a friend who asked me, do you leave the tabs in the Iron Man? So he had gotten one, the Mark 7, and it came with the little plastic tabs. And so just with the Avengers, it had the tabs. He asked, do you leave those in? And if you pull them out, do you save them as part of the packaging in case you ever want to resell or just keep the packaging? And I said, well, I pull the tabs, I keep the tabs, that's me, but the real question is, do you leave the batteries in?
Yeah.
And I just had that question, and it like blew his mind. He's like, oh God, I didn't even think about that. And remember, the Iron Man and the War Machines I got said, do not open the battery compartments any more than necessary. So it really makes it a hard choice. Do you leave the batteries in? Here, I think they've made it very clear because I've said it before on the show and I'll say it again. I love the light up features. That said, I think it's a bit of a gimmick that like once in a great while when I'm really going to showcase my collection, I'll turn on all the lights. But when I just go in to look at my collection, I'm not going to go through the rigmarole, which it really is to light him up, and we'll talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
To get all this in. So I think that this is intended for a collector who probably may never put the batteries in. So the batteries come in this little pack. I was like, what is that? What accessory is that? Oh, it's 18 lithium batteries.
And believe me, you, stacking three of those little slippery suckers up and trying to get them into a tiny little slot is not an easy task. Okay, so we've talked about the weight. What do you think about the sculpt?
I think it's an astonishing sculpt. Now, I was curious. He's got a lot of little flappies on him. There's flaps on his feet. There's flaps on his hips. There's flaps on his shoulders. And I was trying to figure out why, but then I got to posing him. And I realized all of these flaps are really there to increase mobility. So you can get like a hanging thing out of the way, move the leg where it needs to be, and then fold it back as far as it'll go to allow for maximum joint mobility here. And I think that's all due to a great sculpt. That's just great architecture.
Yeah, speaking of great architecture, I don't know if you broke out the little instruction book and read that, but there's a couple little hidden features here. If you hold him by his hips and pull up on his chest, it gives him more range of articulation and bending forward.
Oh, weird.
And then also, there's a button on his back. His bottom spine piece is a button that you push it, and it releases the articulation on his legs, and like his whole pelvis comes forward.
Does he have thrusting action?
It's just little hidden articulation that if you don't want, it just snaps back into place. Are you finding that one with the legs?
Yeah, that's very cool. I read the book enough to get the batteries in and figure out where all the switches were, but I didn't keep going. I guess I should have. I was very heartened that they took out the instruction, do not open the battery compartments any more than necessary.
Considering we have to now. But yeah, like you said a little bit earlier, getting to these batteries and getting to the switches is probably one of the most difficult processes, or the way they did it this time is more difficult than in previous Iron Man. Because for his arms, you have to take off his, I don't know, what do you want to call it, a forearm, almost gauntlet piece?
Yeah, they called it, I think, forearm armor in the instructions. And I really had to use the instructions. One piece is obvious because it's switchable. It comes with a different piece that has kind of a raised gun on it. So you see that piece, it easily comes off. But on the right arm, I'm like, where am I supposed to be pulling? I'm scared of breaking it. But you find the piece finally thanks to the instructions. It was really in there tight. I actually had to use the screwdriver just to get under it a little bit the first time to loosen it.
Yeah, I had that same issue because it's more of it. It's that the red part that comes around the bottom part of his arm comes with this piece too. And it's really in there with two pegs.
Ooh, he's pretty.
And then the back piece confused me because I figured it would be under one of the wings like it was for Iron Man. And when they said in the middle, I'm like, where do I pull? Where do I pull? And finally, I figured out it's right below the neck.
Yeah, right in between the where the gun turret will have articulation. That piece comes off pretty easily, though. That's not as bad.
Honestly, this is like way nicer than the Hot Toys regular one.
Marjorie, this is up the game for Iron Man Hot Toys that I feel like any previous ones can now be redone in the diecast line.
Yeah, I don't even see why you'd continue buying the others if they make these more. And I think that the Play Imaginative one we have coming, Justin, is now going to pale in comparison.
It only has to clear the bar set by Hasbro, though.
Well, it actually just has to arrive.
That'll be the first hurdle.
Yeah, I really like the posability here. I had a little trouble moving him in certain ways. There's a lot of articulation to him, but it's a little tricky at times to move the arm the right way because there's so many pieces and I don't want to break him. He's quite a bit die-cast, but like a lot of the flappy parts are plastic. And
yeah, but this time around, there's not as many flappy, hingy things as previous Iron Man and the War Machine. Like, that War Machine has so many things, like, on the back of his legs that flip out that I always feel like I'm going to break something off just by touching it. This one, I don't have that concern.
Let me ask you, does he need the figure stand?
I like him better with the figure stand. I've made him stand on his own many times, but he's very top-heavy, and his ankle articulation on mine is ever so slightly loose. He never fell, but I never would have felt confident leaving him unattended for a long period of time on a high shelf.
That's kind of the same boat I'm in. I left him sitting on my desk facing a shelf, so just to kind of test it out to see what would happen if I left him alone for days. And every morning I'd get up, I'd check, and he was still standing there. But I was afraid, just like you, that just the slightest bit of movement forward and those ankles are going to let him go forward.
That said, I plan on putting him in my Geek Box Hall of Armor.
Nice.
Because that's what I'm doing. I've got the Hot Toys Hall of Armor. It needs to be opened as well, where I'm going to actually put the Iron Man marks. But for a lot of the others, the War Machine, this one, I'm going to put those in the Geek Box.
That's cool.
I like his stand. I like that they use a black post. A lot of them had been using the clear post. For some reason, the black, it just seems a little bit better to me. The clear never quite worked. And they always had the black clasp around the waist anyway. So the clear, I think they were trying to get a flying effect with, maybe.
Yeah.
And I noticed immediately that this was a different clasp. It had a, like, for lack of a better word, droopy dangle out the bottom. And then I read the instructions, and it specifically says, do not use this figure with any previous Hot Toys figure stand, because you will break them, because it's a heavier figure. This extra piece is there to counterbalance the weight of the die-cast metal.
My one complaint with the stand is it has a spot specifically for his feet. And to get him in there properly, you have to have him standing straight up at attention and his feet facing directly forward. And it doesn't leave for much of a dynamic pose. So if you're going to use the stand, it's like you might as well be posing him as an empty suit of armor at that point.
Yeah.
That's my one gripe.
I think they should have used magnets to hold him in place in the bottom or something.
That'd be cool.
That would be very nice.
I'm sure you could mod that.
I actually don't have a problem with the whole Hall of Armor standing at attention display. I like some posability, but I'm okay with it like this. That's how I display most of my Hot Toys, is in that neutral pose. My one complaint about the base is I got a broken one.
What?
Yes, my luck with Sideshow continues. My on-off switch doesn't work. The base lights are always on if I have batteries in it.
Bummer.
And I got a broken little screwdriver piece. It's a good thing I happen to have watch repair kit, so I had a screwdriver that would work so I could put the batteries in. I thought I couldn't photograph this because I had a broken screwdriver.
Sideshow's probably going to really wish that you stopped buying.
but I have $500 in rewards.
But, I mean, if you think about it, for as much as you buy, you don't have that high of a percentage of problems.
Well, at least it was just the base, and I actually told them, I don't want to exchange the figure. I have inspected the figure. The figure is flawless. Please just send me a new base.
Nice.
And screwdriver.
Yes. That's gotta be worth a little something. Now I'm looking at his gun here, and just to illustrate the level of detail that they went into here, on the underside of his shoulder mount weapon is a little danger logo. You have that little label on yours?
Yeah, I actually photographed it.
Awesome.
I love the way it slides in there though, and is fully articulated so that you can display this gun. You know, pointed upwards, pointed over his shoulder, or not display it at all, and it just, the groove is part of the figure. It feels very natural as a way to tack this on. It's not like some of the other War Machines where if you don't put the gun there, you've got a big ball joint just sticking there waiting for the gun.
Right. This is very well integrated into the whole thing. Now, the one part that I had to research and read a little deeper on, which I was confused on out of the box, is a lot of times the Iron Men come with two heads. You have one head that has the Tony Stark face under the mask, and then you have a whole another one that has the light pipe through it so you can light up his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this one only comes with one head and two masks, and the two masks look very, very similar.
Yeah, I have a hard time telling them apart. Now I see one has slightly deeper ridges, so it's the slightly opened mask.
Exactly.
Versus the completely closed mask. But it's really Megator Megat level minor.
Oh, totally.
But I don't understand even why we needed it. You talked about magnets, Marjorie. The masks clasp on with magnets, so that's awesome. How it stays. But I have a great mask that has the light pipe eyes and everything. If I'm going to put this second head on, why am I going to cover up this amazing Don Cheadle head sculpt with a mask?
Yeah.
That is true, because now you can reenact all the Don Cheadle movies, such as Rain Over Me.
And if we get a Tom Skerritt, Picket Fences is on, bitch.
Yeah, their head sculpts just continue to improve on excellence.
I took some macro shots of this face, and you'd think I took pictures of Don Cheadle. Seriously.
It's incredible.
His eyes are so real, they're creepy. The way they have a little glossiness.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of like you've just got a little tiny Don Cheadle hanging out.
Weirdest thing ever, he has nostril holes.
I was just looking at that.
You can look up his nose with a rubber hose.
Yeah, a little bit of a paint detail in there, too. They put a little bit of dark paint up there.
But no hair.
Someone would complain if there were no nostrils, though.
I also like that they have the articulated chin armor, so you can, like, slide it down. It kind of stays if you push it down. I think you need that to get the mask in, but it also helps display the face a little better.
Yeah, they've done that on previous Iron Men, and, you know, it's a good feature to have there. But you're right, it's there to lock in the mask once you get it in place. Or once you have the mask in, you can, you know, make it talk like a Canadian on South Park.
Now, for the other accessories, we got the forearm piece of armor with a little gun on it. I don't remember this little gun.
I did not inspect his guns.
Yeah, I don't remember that in the movie either. But, you know, for as much as Don Cheadle wasn't in this costume and everybody else was, I'm just glad that we got a Don Cheadle head under there.
I also find it funny that he came with 7 hands. Not 6, not 8, 7.
How does that work? Does one have to stay because of the...
I'll tell you what it is. It's because you get an extra hand for him to salute, and you only salute with your right hand.
Yes, I figured that out because I wanted him to salute in one of my pictures, and I tried using the fully articulated fingers first, and I'm like, that doesn't look quite right. He looks like he's doing it really wrong because the fingers didn't close together. And I'm like, oh, there's one with the thumb tucked under and the fingers all together. It's a salute hand.
And it works really well. You can actually get that salute going on.
Nice. Nice.
All in all, not being all in on Hot Toys, I will say up to this point, this is by far my favorite Hot Toy that I own.
You
don't hurt my feelings if the ones I bought you aren't the best, Arnie.
No, I'm really thinking, though. I'm really thinking. This one is got to be the highest quality. I'll say that for sure. I can't say it's my favorite, just because I really like that mech test Tony Stark and all the things he comes with and dummy and all that. The gantry is so freaking awesome. And, you know, oh, then there's they're all so good. I can't pick. It's like asking me to pick my favorite dog. All right, I do have a favorite dog. It's easier to pick a favorite dog than a favorite hot toy.
Well, this has made me reconsider, if I'm not all in on Hot Toys, I might be all in on the diecast series.
I still am glad that when they got into the House Party Protocol or however deep they went, because I don't think they're actually doing all 42 now. I'm a little saddened by that. But I'm glad that they chose not to make them all diecast. And not even to make them all movie masterpiece series. Make a couple really cheap power poses. Make a couple plastic. You know, let's keep that cost down. Let's save this for what I'll call the hero hot toys. You know, like when you're dealing with props, you have the hero prop that you use for your close-up shots, and then you have the stunt props that people beat up and you just use in the far shots.
Yep.
The hero hot toys need to be the die-cast. I don't need Starburst Armor die-cast. I don't need War Machine Milk Exclusive die-cast. But you get one of the primaries there? Yeah, give it to me die-cast. I really want them to release a third Mark II now and do it diecast, because that one would be awesome in the all-silver.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was saying earlier. They could go back and re-release the main Iron Man from the movies all in this diecast series, and I would have to seriously consider getting a second mortgage.
Well, you could always sell some of your older ones and upgrade and really make a profit.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, it made me go back and look to see if the Iron Man Mark 42 was in this diecast series.
It is, isn't it?
And since he is, maybe pre-ordering that. And that's coming up pretty soon. That's coming out next month in July.
Yeah, I'm a little bit nervous about these battery compartments and how to get to the switches. I'm not happy. This is probably like the 20th time I've done this today, and I'm scared every time. But beyond that, I love how bright the LEDs are. I love all the detail, all the little logos they put. I mean, you talked about the danger sign under the gun, but they painted the Colonel James Rhodes there on the front. On the back, there's a little danger sign near a couple of exhaust vents. And I even like that they painted, and I never noticed this in the movie, 002, showing that this is the Mark II War Machine armor.
Never even noticed that before.
Nice.
Just all the details. The diecast really goes so far in making it feel like a high-end collectible. Anyone who got one before and felt it was too cheap plasticky, that fixes it in a single shot. And I agree with Marjorie. The Play Imaginative, the gauntlet is thrown. Now, admittedly, this is three times the cost of the Play Imaginative, but I want to see something that's halfway as impressive.
How much is that, do I dare ask?
This one was $300.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm afraid the Play Imaginative won't come close to matching this in articulation, but we can only hope that it comes close in sculpt and paint.
I'll say this has made me, for lack of a better term, Hot Toys horny to start getting all my other Hot Toys
out
now. So
what's changed? I mean, you've always been Hot Toys horny.
This really ups the game, though.
Here's the thing. I view this as the third stage of Hot Toys evolution, because if you look at their very first figures they did for the first Iron Man, they were a little smaller, a little less detailed. You know, all of their first wave of figures were good, but not great. And their face sculpts were good. Then they had their second wave, and this is where I fell in love with them, with those great face sculpts, the mech test Tony Stark, and the stuff they did for Iron Man 2. And now I think we're in the third wave, where they're in the die cast and keeping upping their own game. They don't need to. I thought they were good enough with Mark II. I didn't know what they weren't giving me until they gave it to me. When they came out with diecast, I was like, why do I need to pay this extra? It's more expensive. The paint's going to chip, but it's the only way I'm getting my Iron Patriot, and I love me some Iron Patriot. But now that I have it, I'm like, give me more. I'll just be careful. The plastic breaks too.
Yeah, exactly. I don't feel like this paint is any more at risk of chipping than any other action figure.
I would just be careful with it, but it's super duper pretty.
That is the key, is that it really, for an armored figure, they have always looked metallic, but I've always thought that the Iron Man suits I have looked like a nice Ferrari, you know, a car. But cars really aren't metal so much anymore, they're fiberglass. This is when I realized this is the first hot toy that looks like heavy metal.
And feels like it.
It's all kinds of awesome, I'll be honest. I thought I wouldn't like this. What was I thinking? I also may be jaded and cynical by Hot Toys anymore, you know? Because they're always so good.
Which is why it's doubly impressive that they've upped their game with the diecast.
Mm-hmm.
And their detail, always amazing. Just an incredible piece.
Well done.
I have a feeling I'm going to be opening a lot of Hot Toys here in the near future to get them out. I've got, you know, Avengers and some Iron Mans and all kinds of things, so.
All around a great figure, and if you've been on the fence about getting it, I would wait no more. It's everything that I had hoped it was going to be and more.
Now, I also got a couple other items in this week, and I finally got one out of a box. I was inspired. I got two boxes last week. One was from Sideshow, one was from Amazon. Sideshow was a pre-order I had. It's the Black Widow Natasha Romanova comic-based Black Widow premium format figure. And from Amazon came the second Artifacts Plus Black Widow. So I had two Black Widows that came in the same week just by coincidence. So we'll start with the smallest and then go from there. The Artifacts Black Widow was one I was really excited by. We just recently reviewed the Artifacts Plus Hulk and loved it. So I was curious when we get to a smaller figure how it's going to be. And this Black Widow is really very well done. Stands a little bit shorter than the Hulk, about 7 inches, I'd say. And based on the Adi Granov art, she's not proportioned like any living human being could be, but she's not disproportioned in a objectified way. She's just kind of elongated. Actually, she looks like Alanis Morissette, and Alanis Morissette's alive, so I guess maybe humans can look that way.
I never thought that she was not a female form. I mean, she's a little busty and a little hippie like ScarJo.
The Scarlett Johansson is definitely part of the influence for this, while also remaining very comic inspired. I mean, this is the Marvel Now, so they gave her the gold bracelets or the Widow Stingers versus the black one she wears in the movie. She has the comic-based belt like she does. She's in the all-black outfit, but yeah, there's also definitely a hint of the Avengers movie feel to her.
Well, yeah, she walks that line that we talk about whenever we talk about Adi Granov's work, which is half and half. He's half in the realistic world, half in the comic world. I mean, he walks that line so perfectly. And to see these sculpts come out and stay true to that drawing style is very impressive.
Now, unlike Hulk, she came in quite a few pieces. I had to do quite a bit of assembly, and I'll be perfectly honest, I was nervous about this one. Because her torso came as a piece separate from the legs, and then we have the base. And then the hands and the bracelets were separate pieces, and all that I'm fine with. Just snap, snap, snap. It takes 30 seconds. But what worried me most, the guns are separate pieces. They're like accessories for a Legends figure that you have to put in the hand. And all of us know how difficult it is to get one of those accessories in the hand and make it not crooked and make it look like it's being held correctly.
So how did these go? Were they difficult? Was it easy?
I was happily shocked at how easy it is to get them just like they should be. You put them in the hand just like an action figure accessory, but they are made to go right into her palm. I never once had an issue with them being crooked, yet it didn't snap into place, but you lined it up straight and it stayed there really well.
Nice. Now, do they work with the holster too?
No, the holsters are filled plastic. This is, you know, a statue that's meant to be displayed one way and one way only. But I am also happy because there was no problem getting her finger on the trigger of the gun. Also a tricky thing with action figures from time to time.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times with action figures, they make the hands look like they should hold guns, but they don't necessarily know which gun is going to end up with that figure. Here, I'm guessing they molded and sculpted these hands specifically for the guns that they were going to use.
Now, when I think about this, I compared it in my mind to the other female Kotobukiyas I have in the scale, which are all the Bishojo line. And I look at this face. It's a very striking face with extraordinarily bright green eyes. And they did the great thing that they do with the Bishojos. One of the things I love about their Bishojo line is the hair. And they brought some of that wispy hair here. There's no translucent ends or anything crazy, but her hair's kind of up and looks a little actiony and a little tangled. You know, it shows some action.
It just doesn't look like a lump of plastic. And they did very good at coloring it so that it looks like hair versus, again, a hair helmet.
But not only doesn't it look like a lump of plastic, it also doesn't look like she just walked out of the salon.
No.
I'm digging the different use of paint and plastic apps here. I mean, it looks like she's wearing a skin-tight pleather or vinyl bodysuit, and then her skin is a softer matte finish with her hair being soft and not shiny as well.
And then the metallic on the bronze is very key there, too. It's not incredibly metallic, but metallic enough, you know, to really add some texture. And they also went through the detail of painting the buckles on her holsters, which really helps accent what could be a very basic and boring black outfit.
Yeah. Now, you have her in hand there. Like, the pictures I'm looking at, it feels like she's sculpted in such a way that there's a limited range where she looks best posed. And from other angles, it seems kind of out of place. Are you getting that feeling with her sitting right there in front of you?
I don't think so. I think that, you know, obviously you want her towards your front or the side, but not turned away from you.
I would think if you look at her straight from the side, it looks like her back is bending a little bit unnaturally back. Whereas if you just view her, you know, from anything but a 90-degree side angle, she looks great.
Yeah.
She stands really well on the base with that magnet in her foot. And the one thing I had to ask Marjorie, because when we reviewed the Hulk, Marjorie really didn't like his base. But now that we have two figures and three squares of the base, I have to say it's really starting to feel more cohesive. It actually helps Hulk's base to have her next to him.
It does, and I hope they put out more so you can get more people on the base.
Yeah, they're at least doing four or five more with Hawkeye, Captain America, Iron Man, Thor. Yeah, so there'll be six total.
Well, the more and more you get of this line, the more and more I'm thinking I should probably get in before it gets too late, because I'm digging the first two entries.
Yeah, I was really, after we reviewed the Hulk, excited for this. And unlike, say, the Sideshow stuff or the Gentle Giant stuff, Kodo doesn't do a whole lot of direct sales, and there's not a big pre-order. You know, you find it in the normal places like Entertainment Earth, and Amazon has been the cheapest place I've been finding these, especially since I'm a Prime member, so I get all of it free shipping and no sales tax.
Yeah.
And so there's less impetus to pre-order like that. But after the Hulk, I started going out and going, all right, who's next? Who's next? I really wanted somebody else. Black Widow did not disappoint at all. Again, even better than Hulk, she does not look like a model kit. They used the belt to hide the waist seam, and then they used the gauntlets to hide the seam on the wrists. She just looks, when you put her together, like a solid piece of plastic.
I thought she was until you started talking about how you had to assemble her.
And they even perfectly lined up the zipper on the front of her jumpsuit, which is spread over two pieces. Below the belt is the leg piece, above the belt is the chest piece.
Huh. Clever.
Again, it is a absolutely wonderful, and I call this a medium-end collectible because it has a really good quality, but it's a smaller size and at a really affordable price that's not more than two Legends figures these days. So, yeah, this Kodo Artifacts Plus line is impressing me more and more. I'm really curious because they've announced their first Artifacts Plus Marvel not in the Adi Granov series is the Rocket Raccoon and Groot. And I want to see that in person at San Diego Comic-Con. I want to really see how that looks. The pictures look good, but fur is a tricky thing to do in vinyl.
Yeah, as Chewbacca will attest.
But then I got the premium format figure, so the big sister Black Widow. And it's the same comic incarnation, but it finally got me off my ass to get out my third Black Widow, the other premium format, the Scarlett Johansson Iron Man 2 Avenger outfit Black Widow. And I don't know if you remember the story, Justin. I talked about it way back when. I waitlisted her, the exclusive edition with the extra gun in hand, and the waitlist was activated, and I got her immediately as soon as she started shipping, and they snapped her leg off at the knee.
Oh.
The boot came broken off. And Sideshow's like, oh, you could glue that invisibly. We'll give you a $50 credit on another purchase. And I went to Facebook and I went to the listeners. I'm like, is there anybody stupid enough to take a $50 credit to glue this $400 statue back together again? No, every single person agreed. If I ever went to sell it, which I never plan on doing, but if I did, I could never sell it as a perfect piece. I would always have to sell it as damaged and repaired.
Right.
Well, plus you'd always know that you have this broken statue and that would bother you.
Yeah, it would irritate the living shit out of me. But I think Sideshow wasn't too happy about my answer of, no, I'll take that replacement body, please.
And you took it to the Twitters and the Facebooks, which they probably did not like either.
So I waited 6 months, and I was emailing them, like, where's the new body? I had the base out, I had the head out, I had all this stuff out ready to display. Where is it? And months later, it finally came. And by the time it came, I didn't have a place to put it. We were doing some construction. So I finally am like, all right, well, I'll do some comparison shots. So I finally got out that Black Widow. And it's very cool. The body is a cloth outfit that is perfectly modeled after the Iron Man 2 outfit. It's kind of got a little bit of a blue hue, but it's a very dark kind of blue-gray that's bordering on black. They silkscreened the S.H.I.E.L.D. logo on her shoulder. She's got the bracelets, interchangeable hands so that she can... I think it's a little bit interesting, though. You can pose her with no weapons. You can completely disarm her and just have her with two empty hands and no gun.
Wow. She's packing some back. I mean, she's not completely unarmed.
Well, yeah. She is based off Scarlett Johansson's body. They didn't just use a standard body. They mix a lot of it.
What strikes me immediately looking at this one is... Oh my God, I forgot her hair was that long before, because I'm so used to the Captain America 2 hairdo now.
Yeah, and honestly, this is her worst hair in the entire cinematic
universe. Was really pretty on her.
I think it's a little too long and a little too, to use your term, helmety.
Well, I don't think the hair on this one's particularly great, but I liked it on her in the movie.
All right, yeah. I'll go with
I that. Don't think this looks like her. No, it's not very good.
You remember Say Anything with John Cusack?
Ione Skye.
Not Ione Skye.
The friend that was in Mystic Pizza.
Sings about Joe Lies.
When he cries, yes.
Yeah.
I thought she looked kind of like Marcia Gay Harden.
One of the more unfortunate names out there.
Yes.
I thought it looked Scarlett Johansson enough, but the further you get away from it, the less it looks like it. But when I started doing the close-up shots, I could see... a likeness. What freaked me out about her hair, the hair is a totally separate piece held on by magnets. So when I got her head out, she was bald.
Weird.
So I had to put that together. That was a little bit freaky. But she does have all these interchangeable hands. I do also really like her base, which is a high glossy shield environment. I guess I do agree, though, it's not the best likeness Sideshow has ever done. I think it's better than you guys are giving it credit for, but not the greatest. And also, they put this up for pre-order after the Avengers, and I was a little shocked when I opened it. I'm like, why does the box say Iron Man 2? They had that in like a tiny font on the page, Iron Man 2. What they had in a huge font is Black Widow Scarlett Johansson, which after the Avengers, I was like, yeah, I'll take a premium format of that. And it's like, oh, fooled you, it's the Iron Man 2 one.
Do you feel ripped off?
No, not at all. I mean, first of all, it's the exclusive edition, so I could sell it for double what I paid.
There you go.
But second of all, I'm really enjoying assembling the Marvel Cinematic Universe premium format figures, and this is the ScarJo they've given us. So while it's not as good as the Chris Evans or that awesome, awesome Hulk they did, it's definitely... Nobody's going to look at it and go, why do you have a statue of Marcia Gay Harden on your shelf with Hulk? Nobody's going to ask me that.
They might.
I think I'm going to make that a thing to do when I come visit.
Well, the other weird thing is to get the head on, I had to unzip her jumpsuit.
Awkward.
Sure you did.
The instructions tell me to. But all right, I'll admit.
Do when you do I had, everything the instructions tell you to do?
I do. Okay. I follow rules like that. When I had the broken body, like... with my hot toys and my statues, I'm going to move these things as little and as gently as possible. But on the broken body, I'm like, sure, I'll see what's under there.
Inquiring minds want to know just how detailed are the premium formats.
What's funny is they didn't paint the skin. You have to unzip it, but the neck piece that goes down is part of the head. That's the only flesh thing. There's no flesh coloring on the body at all.
Oh. Weird.
So you couldn't choose to unzip her and display her with cleavage if you wanted. That is not an option.
That answers my next question, which is, can I apply to be an areola painter? But apparently there's no such thing.
Well, there might be. There are some very risque dolls at Entertainment Earth sells.
There you go.
So you could, if you don't mind painting them in the Japanese style.
I'll make do. Well, I think it's time to move on to the next Black Widow.
Yes.
Just shipping now from Sideshow is the new comic-based Black Widow. This one I pre-ordered because she came with an exclusive knife hand. You can have her with the regular hand that has a pistol or an exclusive hand that has a knife. Either way, she's carrying a BFG in the second one.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this one is very comic-inspired, and like a lot of the comics I've seen, some of the cover art, she's standing on a base that's representing like a snowy mountain cliff, like she's about to snipe somebody from up there. It's very dynamic base, and they did a good application of the snow on the boots, where it looks like it's a dusting. It doesn't look like they just airbrushed a little white over black boots. It's well scattered.
Nice. I'm wondering how she got up there without any footsteps. Like, did she jump up there backwards? She's making an imprint in the snow.
Yeah. Well, the base doesn't go much further. There could be footsteps right behind where the base doesn't go.
Ah. And I suppose it's for the best that they didn't put other footsteps in there. I might get confused on how to set her in there.
I'm a little nervous because once I got a statue with a broken leg, now I look at all my premium formats like, that's where the breakpoint is. That's where the breakpoint is. And so I look at this one and I'm like, well, there's only one peg that goes deep and she's standing at an angle. So I'm scared that gravity could eventually cause cracking, but I don't think it would be very visible. The one thing I was a little shocked on, and I didn't know what to expect, maybe I didn't read the details close enough, but so many of the premium formats from Sideshow lately have come with completely polystone bodies. You look at the Storm, she has a soft goods cape, but that entire bathing suit she wears is polystone. And you look at Deadpool, his entire outfit is polystone. And as glossy as Black Widow looked in the pictures online, I thought for sure this was going to be a high gloss polystone, but no, that is a pleather outfit.
Oh, wow.
And it's on there somehow. I marvel at being able to sew it, I guess, onto the body of the figure or however they did it, but it wrinkles like a real outfit, adding that degree of realism.
Did you unzip it?
I did not unzip it.
I would be afraid that it's glued on in places and unzipping it might just break that glue.
Yeah.
All right, here's what I tried to do, though. This Black Widow statue is a little bit buxom, and it's displaying cleavage. I didn't necessarily think that was a requirement. So I didn't try to unzip. I actually tried to zip it up more.
I'll customize you a little boob apron. Ship it off to you.
I don't think the zipper moves. I wasn't going to force it, but I tried moving the zipper and it didn't move. So the cleavage is there.
We all have to make sacrifices.
I guess what was a problem for me isn't necessarily the cleavage, but it breaks the verisimilitude. Wouldn't she be cold? I think if you're in a snowy environment, you'd want to be zipped up. She's going to catch cold that way.
She's going to get pneumonia.
Now, this one in the face, obviously this is comic inspired, but you know, she kind of looks like Famke Janssen.
I can see that now.
Oh, yep. That's what she looks like.
Very good call on that. I really like the face. I think that this premium format face is a more attractive face than the one they put on the previous Black Widow that was supposed to be based off a real human.
Yeah.
And they did a great job with the hair. It's a little windblown. It avoids, again, the hair helmet type of thing.
But she has one big chunk of hair flying. It's like she used too much product on one like big strip of hair.
Where there's something about Mary.
Yes.
Is that hair gel? Some of the hair also comes around her neck. It's not just one chunk, but it is clumpy. It's not wispy.
Well, it just looks like the wind's blowing from left to right. I think it works.
The belt was another piece that I had to put on myself, and it kind of hangs low, like around the hips, like Batgirls in the 60s. I mean, she wouldn't be able to sit down. But it hangs really well on the hips. I was worried it might sag, it might not show the Black Widow logo well enough. No, it's Velcroed, and it just, you put it around the waist, slide it down to its resting point, and it positions really well to keep that iconic logo visible.
So is it tapered in a little bit to fit the shape of her hips?
It is not. It is just a completely flat belt. And it just sits very well. So from the base to the top of her head, I'm really impressed with this one for a comic-based figure, and it's one of the nicest premium formats I've gotten in a long time in their Avengers line. I mean, I compare it to the Hawkeye, which was it was really good, but again, all polystone body, not enough soft goods, or the Vision, again, all polystone body with the soft goods cape, but while I like the exclusive head sculpt, nothing was as striking as this one. So she doesn't come on the Avengers base that would make her match the others, but I really like the stone base they gave her. The exclusive is sold out. I don't think the knife is a make it or break it deal. If you've listened to our show for a while, you know, I always say get the exclusive while you can, but after the fact, only get the exclusive if you need it. And I don't think the knife is a must have. She could have a pistol in that hand just as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's a cool little knife with some detail in it, but it's, like you said, it's not a deal breaker.
But I think that's a really nice piece. I'm very happy I picked that up, because I was on the fence on it a little bit when it came out, and really happy with the purchase. And so with that, that is our show for this week. We will be back. We're going to have some figure reviews, because I think we're going to have Infinite Series Wave 2, and, of course, we already have Guardians of the Galaxy Legends. So I expect next week to be a bevy of figure reviews.
Indeed. Looking forward to putting together my 6-inch scale Groot.
I am Groot.
So all that and more on the next Marvelicious Toys.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Marvelicious Toys. If you enjoyed this podcast, please help our show by leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes. There's even more Marvelicious content at our website, MarveliciousToys.com. At the site, you can see pictures of the products we discussed, find checklists for Marvel toys, talk and trade toys in the Marvelicious forums, and much more. It's all at MarveliciousToys.com. We want to hear your thoughts on Marvel collectibles. You can leave reports of your latest toy finds, as well as product reviews, on our voicemail at 803-MARVEL-4. That's 803-627-8354. Or email an MP3 or iPhone voice memo to show@MarveliciousToys.com. Marvelicious Toys is produced and edited by Arnie Carvalho. Marvelicious Podcast video enhancement by Andrew, Daryl, Josh, and Barrett. Marvelicious website design by Jason. Graphic design by Justin. Photo editing by Curtis and Jeff. Announcements by Brock. If you also like Star Wars, Star Wars collecting is covered at our other podcast, Star Wars Action News, which you can find at swactionnews.com. If you want to hear reviews of every movie ever based on Marvel Comics, check out those reviews and hundreds more on the Now Playing Podcast at nowplayingpodcast.com. Marvel Comics and all that the Marvel Multiverse contains are the intellectual property of Marvel Entertainment Incorporated, a subsidiary of the Walt Disney Company, and no infringement is intended. Marvelicious Toys is a Venganza Media production, copyright 2014, all rights reserved, and no part of this show may be reproduced, repurposed, or redistributed without the written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated.
Hello and welcome to Marvelicious Toys, issue 119. I'm Marjorie.
I'm Arnie. And I'm Justin.
I feel like you should just leave that. Right?
I just want to thank our sponsor, Dorkside Toys. Remember, Dorkside Toys has stuff. I just did it very carefully, but I did figure what I had to do was pull up the top and let it rise. Really?
Sorry.
Nobody's going to look at it and go, why do you have a statue of Machu... statue of Machu? Why do you have a...
I think it's Machu Picchu.
Why do you have a statue...